Reality is much more complex than any judgment of right or wrong encourages you to believe. When you really understand the ethical, spiritual, social, economic, and psychological forces that shape individuals, you will see that people's choices are not based on a desire to hurt. Instead, they are in accord with what they know and what worldviews are available to them. Most are doing the best they can, given what information they've received and what problems they are facing. And that quote comes from Michael Lerner. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Everything that exists, everything within all creation, manifests through the harmonic vibration of light and sound. Everything that exists is light and sound. Everything that exists is, at its most basic form, simply pure energy. And energy is the stuff that drives the universe itself. All things are created from this energy. If you really get down to it and look at reality on a quantum level, it's all about different vibrational frequencies of light and sound. Everything. And it's all connected because all is energy. Energy is what makes up reality. What we essentially are participating in is an ocean of different currents, different frequencies, and different manifestations of light and sound. If you can imagine life in the ocean, and imagine the water that connects everything in the ocean, every sea creature, every plant, the rocks, the sand on the bottom, the water permeates everything. It actually soaks into the rocks. It is something that connects every single thing in the ocean. It's all connected by the water. Well, what we experience in the reality that we live in is that everything is connected by energy, and the energy permeates everything, much like the water permeates everything that exists within the ocean. You see, we're actually swimming in an ocean too, folks, only it's an ocean of energy. We are quite literally moving through an ocean made of energy that permeates absolutely everything. And this is why everything is connected. This is why everything is one. Everything comes from a single source. This is how the human race is one. This is how human consciousness is one. And yet, everything that is manifest within creation is completely unique to itself as well. Every rock on the ground is made entirely of energy, just the same as everything else. And yet, even a rock on the ground has its own particular aspect, its own particular angle, its own lines and curves and markings. It's completely unique to itself. Each individual also has a completely unique perspective of reality. And this is what makes you, you. This is what makes people who they are. And this is how we are connected, and it's how we are also completely separate. Because we can be both of these things at the same time when you understand how reality works. Now, when you really begin to get a grasp on this and you really begin to figure out what's going on here and you realize that the body is simply a biological computer that's downloading a specific frequency that you experience as yourself, and that every other body is doing the same thing, downloading a specific frequency unique to that biological computer. It's like its own operating system. And that each one of these frequencies is actually coming from the energy field around you, you really begin to question why human consciousness is in such a disunited state. You begin to see how easy it would actually be to change reality. And you have to also begin to question how we got into this disunited state. Now, very often I've spoken to you about the fact that we only have 3% of our DNA active. We're only experiencing a very, very small bandwidth of reality. And that most of our body's shut down. Our pineal gland is completely inoperative. And basically, folks, when you really look at the entire human organism from an energetic perspective, it is something that is virtually inoperative. The higher senses are simply not functioning. The connection and the ability to be able to read and decode the energy field around us is virtually non-existent. And because of this, we are literally experiencing about 3% of reality. Now, folks, if you had a car and it was operating to 3% of its capability, if you had a computer that was functioning on 3% of its processor power, able to access 3% of the internet and use 3% of its graphics, in both cases, you would consider your machinery to be inoperative. And yet what we have is human consciousness driving a vehicle that is in exactly this same inoperative state. But we don't realize it's happening because we don't look at reality from the correct perspective. We don't use all of our brain to communicate with the reality that we live in. And we find it difficult to perceive the concept of biological machinery. Many people find it difficult to grasp the concept that their body is in fact a biological computer that functions purely on electromagnetic stimuli and electromagnetic signals. Everything that happens in the body is electrical. If you had no electricity in your body, you would not be alive, folks. You would be dead. This is what occurs when death happens. The energy source disconnects from the body. The computer basically burns out, and consciousness leaves to return to the surrounding field with the information that it's gathered. The water in the body returns to the groundwater with the information that it has gathered. And looking at it from a computer perspective, you could say it serves to update the global RAM drive with new data and new memory. But essentially what I'm attempting to convey here is the concept of the energetic universe, an energetic universe that functions entirely upon electrical stimuli. And it's the space itself that is real. It's the space that contains all of this energy. What we perceive to be blank, empty space, it's not empty at all. It's full. It's full of energy. And this energy is the real stuff of the universe. And all matter is simply divisions in space. It's sections of energy that have coalesced to form matter based on perception. But what's actually real is the space. This information is known very well by many indigenous tribes, and this is why the elite went to such an extraordinary effort in order to wipe out these indigenous tribes, because they wished to hide this information. And indeed, most of what's been done to suppress these indigenous cultures, and most of what's been done within modern society through the application of our left brain education and our religious institutions, has been to suppress this knowledge, to suppress this understanding of reality from people, because it's a very empowering understanding. And having this understanding helps people to think outside of the box. And thinking outside of the box is what will essentially free people from the matrix that they believe to be real. The thing is, what you find is that most indigenous cultures still think with their whole brain. They still view reality from both a left and a right brain perspective. Whereas most westernized people, people that exist within modern society, due to walking on flat ground and due to having square corners everywhere and this completely unnatural environment that they live in, and through the constant sensory bombardment that the left brain gets, people are not even aware that they're only using half their brain. They're not even aware that a right brain perspective of reality even exists. But a right brain perspective of reality is what helps you read the energy around you. It's what helps you understand the workings of the universe and the workings of reality. And it's what frees you from the matrix. An interesting experiment you can try is to, rather than focus always upon the matter that exists around you and the objects that exist around you, try to pay some attention to the space between the objects that is created by the presence of the object. an interesting analogy that I actually mentioned on a radio interview yesterday on a Canadian station called Revolution Radio was the example of the Australian Aboriginal, in as much as the Australian Aboriginal navigate by the heavens. When they traverse the country, they navigate themselves and they figure out their position by the markings that exist above them in the heavens. But they don't look at the stars. They look at the space between the stars. They look at the shapes of the blackness, and that is what they use to navigate. And this is also mentioned in Native American traditions, where they refer to the Tanal and the Nakhwal. The Tanal being the light that is created by the stars, the light that is created by objects, because all objects are simply mirrors of particular frequencies of light and sound that they are reflecting. And this is called the Tanal. And the space between the objects, the space between the stars, this is called the Nakhwal. And both are equally important in these traditions. And this is a perspective that simply doesn't exist within Western culture. We perceive it to be irrelevant to devote any attention to the spaces between objects. All we see are the objects. And so we create a world that is full of these objects, but we don't experience the real world because of it. We don't experience the energetic stuff that creates all of these objects. We only experience the objects themselves, simply due to the perception that we have and the perspective that we look at things from. And this is a perspective that we've been trained to look at things from through our left brain education system. And our religious systems are very, very good at preventing people from ever making these connections and looking within themselves, because our religious institutions are all designed to cause people to put their attention and their expectation upon something which is external to themselves, rather than ever looking for salvation from within. And there's a big clue in that, folks. There's a big clue as to why such an extraordinary amount of effort and such meticulous attention has been devoted to detail in order to prevent mankind from ever gaining this understanding and from ever looking within themselves. Because it is within each of us that the answers to all of the problems we face ultimately lie. When you really begin gaining a clear understanding of the fact that it is an energetic universe and that everything that happens in the universe happens electromagnetically, you begin to see a little bit of why the human dilemma exists. You see, essentially what has happened is because we have been cut off from our higher senses and we are unable to read the energy field around us, and we all need energy to survive, we tend to extract that energy from each other. We set up systems and business systems and social systems and relationship systems whereby we are able to harvest energy from other people. We put ourselves in a position where we have a constant flow of energy from those around us. Sometimes this can be quite beneficial and quite harmonious and things can work out quite well, but it's never truly where we should be. And very often, it simply creates animosity and division. People tend to have stuff with other people. Many people may wish to hurt those who have wronged them or profit from people around them and these sorts of things. And this is all energy harvesting. And they do this because they're disconnected from source. They simply don't know how to tap into the energy field that's all around us. And so they have to extract it from a more readily available source, which is another person. And that's basically what we do. And the reason this has become so prominent in modern society is because our societies themselves are fear-based. It's simply a system of fear-based mind control. I mean, that's all it really is, folks. Our education system is fear-based. Our social structure is fear-based. Our corporate and business world is all fear-based. It's all centered around a fear of shortage and the concept that the meaning of life is the one with the most stuff wins. And it's all fear-based. It's all fear-based and ego-based, because when you've got more stuff, you perceive yourself to be a better person, and yet the more stuff you get, the more fear you have of losing all your stuff. And when you don't have any stuff, then you're in fear of not having any stuff, you're in fear of not being able to survive because you've got no viable means of extracting profit from other people. So it's all completely messed up, and it's so far removed from what human beings should be doing that it's remarkable that we would ever have come up with something like this. And that's the question. That's the real question, is how would the human race ever come up with something like this? And what happened to put us in a state where we are only experiencing 3% of reality? And folks, when you think about it, as I've said, the space is what's real, and matter is simply divisions in space. And when you really grasp the concept of this and the reality of this, then you begin to understand that what you're not experiencing, the 97% of reality you're missing out on, is in the space. It's in the energy. It's all around you. And it's all there for you to experience and participate in, the way birds and animals do. But you're not able to do so because of the state of your body biologically. Something's happened to lock down your endocrine system. Something's happened to shut down your DNA, to shut down your pineal gland, and to keep you in a state where you're operating to 3% of your actual capabilities. Essentially, to keep you in a state where you are barely functioning in this reality. And in this present society, folks, the only function the human race serves is to strip this planet of virtually all of its resources in order to support a debt-based system of economy that is designed to stimulate permanent growth when such a thing is impossible. I mean, think about it, folks. How can you have permanent growth on a planet that has a finite amount of resources? It's simply impossible. And it's impossible for humanity and the planet itself to even survive if it's allowed to continue in this state and following these guidelines. If we're going to base reality around its economic value, then the end result will be that we have no reality. And one of the most difficult tasks that we face, one of the most difficult challenges that we face, is to help people see things from this perspective, especially when we've got politicians running the world, because these politicians are so lost and so locked down and so disconnected from reality that they're barely able to function. I mean, these people can only think with their left brain. They don't even believe that any thought goes on in the right brain. All they think about is numbers. All they think about is this system and how to support this system. A lot of the politicians you'll find are lawyers, they're mathematicians, they're people who have been totally indoctrinated into a left-brain way of thinking, and they cannot even comprehend the concept of a person being against economic growth, because they believe the economy is real. They believe the economy is all. If this planet gets to the state where it's reduced to a barren rock, these people will still be trying to find ways of extracting more resources out of the planet in order to balance their books and in order to create a viable economy. And because the economy is based on permanent growth, it means that everything that we create has to be disposable. Nothing can be built to last because we need to have this turnover to keep the economy functioning. But all this is doing is stripping every single resource that this planet has to offer. And most of what we're doing, folks, seems to be centered around energy, a shortage of energy. And yet there was free energy offered to the world by people like Nikola Tesla. And there are many people that are now talking about free energy devices, because the energy itself that reality is made from is harvestable. This is what Tesla was going to do. Tesla was going to create a system whereby energy was harvested from the surrounding field, downloaded directly into whichever device wanted to use this energy. And there was no way to meter this energy, and that's why his free energy devices were outlawed, and that's why they're scoffed at by modern energy companies and modern politicians who say, no, it's all fiction. There was never anything like that that was going to happen. Well, there was, folks. We could have had free energy a long time ago, and because we've been denied things such as free energy, the net result has been to devastate the planet to the extent to which we have done. And again, this is simply another symptom of the one problem, which is the system itself, which continues to function due to our failure to face reality, to face the fear within ourselves, to connect with those around us, and to hold the public trustees that are doing all this accountable for their actions. Our failure to act as good custodians of the planet and uphold our duty and our obligation to help create a viable future for our children. And I know I keep coming back to that, folks, but I do so because it's simply the way it is. It's the most important thing we have to do. Because, as I said, this is a system of fear-based mind control. And so what we have to do is face the fear, and most especially because it is this fear that keeps us divided from each other, and it's the division that perpetuates the system. Divide and conquer, folks. That's the motto, and it's used extremely effectively. It's just that people don't realize that that's what's going on. So the question then becomes, how do we create some type of unity? How do we create some type of mutual respect that allows each person on the planet to be sovereign within themselves and be happy to be that way and be happy to allow others to be that way? And folks, what it really all comes down to is empathy and compassion. And a very important aspect of it is forgiveness. It's so important for people to let go of everything that's happened in the past. Release their grip on all of the negative emotions that they're holding on to. All of the revenge that they feel they would like to carry out against other people. Realize that everybody who they perceive to have wronged them has done so simply because of the perception they have of reality. And holding on to that and wishing to do harm to them as an act of retribution simply continues the problem. It just compounds the problem. When you seek to carry out an act of revenge against someone, all you're really saying is, it's okay for you to have messed up my life because now I'm going to mess up your life. Because that's what people do. And you simply do exactly what was done to you, and you become that which you hate. You become that which you felt so bad about when it was inflicted upon you, and yet you are so willing to inflict it upon someone else, when in fact the act of doing so only serves to validate the actions of the person who wronged you. The trick is to lead by example, folks, and to be the change you wish to see in the world. Obviously, negative energy was created when you were wronged, or you wouldn't have felt negative about it. So why then would you wish to create exactly that same energy? And I've often said, folks, that this will be one of the hardest tests that you ever face. But if you can gain an understanding of what reality actually is and all the things that I've outlined for you on the show today, and you can see how little people actually know about this and how disconnected from source they actually are, you begin to see why you have to let go of all of these bad feelings and all this negative emotion, because these people have only wronged you the way they have because they can't perceive what reality is. They've been trained to be that way. So it doesn't matter what people have done. What matters is what we do from this point forward. And the only thing that we need to really get it off the ground is mutual respect, empathy and compassion. And as I've said so often on recent broadcasts, we need for everybody to come home. And I think it's break time here, ladies and gentlemen, so we'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me for the broadcast today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Welcome back, folks. Now, you may wonder why I just went through all of the things that I covered on the first half of the program. And the reason I did it, folks, is because the way to fix all of the problems that we face in the world is to remove fear from your consciousness, and I believe that something that is very beneficial and very helpful in removing that fear is to understand what reality is and how reality works. Because I've found that by incorporating a right brain understanding into your perception of reality, you can literally change reality. You can change your personal reality anyway. I mean, I've attracted so many different things into my life, and I've attracted so many different events and different people into my life simply through following the synchronicity in my life that becomes more apparent the more I open up my right brain. And you find that reality wants to interact with you, but you only want to interact with reality. And to try to put that a little bit clearer, it's like we feel that our input is all that matters. We don't consider the input of reality itself. And what you find is that you're actually part of this ongoing dialogue between you and reality. It's like a conversation that's going on between yourself and the universe, but you're not listening. The universe is attempting to speak to you, but you're not listening. It's like you're having a conversation with someone, but you're wearing earplugs and you can't hear what's being said to you. And you're the one who's doing all the talking. That's kind of the way we interact with reality. We talk to each other. We might talk to our animals, but we don't talk to the energy field around us. Well, we do talk to it, but we don't listen to what it says back to us. Probably because we don't realize that we're talking to it energetically when in fact we are. Because there is an electromagnetic interaction going on between you and the surrounding energy field all the time. But you simply don't realize that this is actually a language that you're speaking because you've forgotten what the language is and you don't have the higher senses active that are required to perceive this language and comprehend this language. I mean, it's kind of difficult to explain, but I hope that made some type of sense to you. And you see, one of the biggest obstacles to you ever accessing these higher senses and ever understanding this language is fear. It's the vibration that fear sets up within your body, within your system, within your whole energy field. And this is why our entire society and everything about it is all based on fear. As I said, it's fear-based mind control. They control your mind so that you don't perceive anything outside of a left brain reality. You don't perceive anything outside of the five sense perception that you have of reality. And the reason I attempt to explain the way reality functions and look at things electromagnetically and attempt to help people understand the electrical nature of the universe is because I believe that when you have this understanding and you finally comprehend what reality is and how it works, then fear just falls away from you. You begin to see that there really is nothing to fear and that the only real problem is the vibration of fear itself. That's the problem. And you see, that's what I'm seeing a lot of in the truth movement or the so-called truth movement as well, is a lot of fear. I see people in fear and terror about the world that has been created. But really, it's just, again, the propagation of fear. Because the terrible world that they are so in fear of that is being created is only being created because of their failure to face that fear. Because that fear is the same fear that is in themselves and that serves to keep them separate from the people around them. But you have to break down the fear. You have to let go of the fear. Really, folks, what you have to do to move forward from this point is to let go of everything. Let go of everything that you perceived to be reality. Let go of everything that you perceived to be important to you. I mean, of course, your children and your family are important to you, but, I mean, objects and just stuff, all this stuff that we collect that really doesn't mean anything, it doesn't make us who we are. What makes us who we are is what energy lies within our hearts. And that's what makes us who we are. So you've got to let go of what you believed and what you cared about and what you perceived about yourself and how you perceived others. Let go of everything that has happened in your life up to this point. And simply focus on the now and the future that we could create if we were to do this. Just let go. Let go of all of that stuff that you've been carrying around for years and years and realize that all of it is a product of this system. All of it is a product of the perception that we have been taught to have of what reality is. Let go of judgment. Let go of revenge. Let go of all the animosity you feel towards everybody. All of these things are simply mirrors. All of these things are opportunities to address certain emotions that may be raised within yourself. All of these negative emotions are things that you need to experience, because all of them are opportunities for healing, and all of them are opportunities for change. And if something's making you feel bad, folks, well, you need to change that. And the only way you can change that bad feeling is by embracing it and feeling it, understanding why you feel that feeling, making that feeling one with yourself, and thereby neutralizing it so you can move on to address the next mirror and the next flaw and the next negative emotion that you have. Because all of these emotions are fear-based. And mostly it's a fear of looking within ourselves. It's a fear of facing that which we see within ourselves. And finally knowing what to do when we see that in others that arouses these feelings within ourselves. Because all of these feelings are ultimately unique to ourselves. Any bad feelings you have about anybody else, that's not them, that's you, because you are the one that is creating that feeling. And these are physical things. You can feel your body change, you feel your heartbeat raise, you feel your body chemistry literally change, and you start feeling strange when you're having these negative feelings around people. So this shows that they do actually cause a physical effect within your body, and it's not a healthy effect. It's what makes you sick. It's what creates illness and unwellness in the vehicle that you drive around in. It's like putting bad fuel or bad oil in your car, folks. That's what these negative emotions and negative feelings do, and they only affect you. They don't affect other people, and they're all fear-based. So you've got to let go of all of this. Now, once we can let go of all of these feelings and let go of all this animosity and realize that everybody who ever wronged us only did so because of what they had perceived reality to be up to that point, then it's easy to forgive them. It's easy to forgive everything that anybody has done, because now we have an opportunity to welcome them home, to bring the whole human race back to where it should be. That's what I see happening right now, and that's how consciousness will evolve. But people have to choose to do it. People have to participate. And when they do, that's how true enlightenment will happen. And that's how we can change the direction of mankind and change the direction that all life on this planet is going. Because where we're heading is for complete destruction. We're heading for this destruction in order to support an economic system, which isn't real. It's just numbers on a screen. It's just pieces of paper and words and figures that people make up. It's got nothing to do with reality. It's got nothing to do with the world. It's got nothing to do with the human race, and it doesn't benefit anybody. It's remarkable when you really look at humankind and you see this economic leviathan that we've created in order to exploit the resources of the planet and to exploit each other. And many people are in such an incredible state of fear should anything ever happen to this system. Because if the system were to break down, they would feel like their life had simply decayed before their eyes. And yet, the life that they are living at the hands of this system, and the way people take this system for granted, is what has caused all of the problems that we currently see upon this planet. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you have people who can see the system for what it is, but they live in a state of fear of what the system is becoming, and they speak out about it from a state of fear. And yet on both sides of the fence, we find that people still argue with each other. They still have stuff with their neighbors. They still have stuff with the people down the hall or around the block. They won't ever face the fear within themselves that perpetuates that which they fear externally from themselves. It's really a remarkable state that human consciousness finds itself in. But I don't know, I have a feeling that a lot of it is about to change, folks. I have a feeling that there are some very big things afoot. With the change in energy that's happening and the shift in consciousness that is occurring, I mean, sure, it's still difficult to see people in big cities showing any signs of positive change, but this sort of thing will come later as the world changes around them. And I really do feel a huge swell in human awareness and human consciousness is taking place, and I believe much of the catalyst is the externalization of the hierarchy that's happening. And I believe the plan of the elite may actually be backfiring, because I'm not seeing a lot of violence in what's happening around the planet. I'm seeing a lot of awareness growing of the issues, and I'm seeing people getting out there and taking to the streets. But rather than violent reactions, what I'm seeing is a lot of positive change. I'm seeing a lot of peaceful rebellion and lawful rebellion taking place around the world. We've got the thousands of people that are camping on Wall Street. We've got people in the street in Spain. We've got people in the street in Greece, in London, in Italy, in Ireland. There's people, and even here in Australia, we've got the huge 10,000 amend event happening in Western Australia, which is attracting a lot of attention, and we're expecting a very large pilgrimage from all over the place to get to James Price Point on the 10th of October to make a stand against coal seam gas mining. And all of these things are being done peacefully. All of these things are being done from the correct energetic state. People aren't being violent. People are simply saying they've had enough and they want positive change. And these type of events are far more effective than any violent protests. And one of the beauties of it is that people aren't there addressing any one thing. They're saying, we want change, and we want change in all areas. People are beginning to see that all of the separate problems that they've all been addressing are all simply symptoms of the one larger problem, and they are searching for ways to address this one larger problem. I believe the answer lies in trust law. I believe the answer lies in knowing who and what you are and being able to stand in that. But because this is a personal thing that everybody must do, it means that ultimately the real answer lies in getting to know your neighbours and connecting with the community around you. And this again comes down to doing that inner work, removing the inner fear from your psyche that keeps you divided from your neighbours. And this is what's happening. This is what I'm seeing take place in the world. And this is what I'm seeing taking place in a lot of the events that are being staged around the world. And that is truly a beautiful thing. I mean, ultimately, the event that I would like to see occurring around the world is I would like to see everybody take to the streets and everybody camp in their capitals and basically stay there as a community supporting each other until the people in the big government buildings came out and face the music, and positive change was implemented immediately. That's what I'd like to see. So again, the real solution lies in waking up the people around you. But I can appreciate that a lot of people do wish to do something. A lot of people feel frustrated, and so they feel they must do something. And so they go to these peaceful protests that are being staged just to show solidarity with the people around them, and just so that the other people that are there know that they are supported by the wider community. And that's a good thing. As long as these things stay peaceful, and as long as people stay focused on the actual problem, which is the fact that our servants, the public servants that we call government, the public trustees that we employ to ensure we have a viable future, have left their path and are all acting in breach of trust. That's the problem. Once we establish this, then we can change the system, and it needs to be done very quickly. We absolutely need to, I would think, replace all the politicians that are in power anywhere throughout the world. I think all of them have done an incredibly bad job. We need to immediately cancel all debt. Absolutely. Suddenly you don't owe anything to anybody. If you owe money to the bank, you don't owe it anymore. You don't owe your mortgage. You don't owe the bill to the credit card company. You don't owe your mother any money. You don't owe anybody any money, and you've got what you have now. and then we can start from there. Cancel all debt, and that suddenly gets everybody out of this situation of fear-based mind control, and we can work out what sort of a future we would like to create and work together to create one, something that's viable, something that's sustainable, something that is beneficial to mankind, and something that helps support all life upon the earth. Now, recently, I'm sure you've heard me mention the trip that I'm about to undertake across the Songlines to the mouth of the Rainbow Serpent and stopping at Uluru along the way to help with the activation of the heart of the earth. This is a very symbolic journey for me. It's a very important journey for me. And it's a very symbolic and important journey for the indigenous cultures of the planet. There are many people that will be joining me on this journey in my heart, and there are many people who will be joining those who travel across the song lines in their heart, as will there be many people joining us at James Price Point on the Kimberley Coast. Even if they are not there physically, they will very much be joining us in our hearts. I've described on previous shows the extraordinarily synchronistic events that have led me to be on Uluru on the 27th of this month to perform ceremony. And I'd like to put a message out there today to anybody around the world who would like to join me in the ceremony in your heart. Part of the ceremony will be the lighting of the sacred fire. And this will be taking place at 2 p.m. Alice Springs, Australia time. So if you go to the World Clock website and you look up Alice Springs, Australia, and you check out what the local time is in your area, you may wish to light a candle or light a fire or simply strike a match and join us in the ceremony to light the sacred flame that will help shift the consciousness of this planet. There will be ceremonies taking place near the tail of the Rainbow Serpent to light the sacred flame at the same time as we are doing ceremony in Uluru, and wherever you are around the world, I would like to invite you to do the same. And you can just think of me, folks. I will be there lighting the sacred flame at exactly the same time as you, and together perhaps we can help bring about some real positive change. The journey that we're undertaking across Australia to get to the mouth of the serpent, for the people that are actually coming with me that are driving from Byron Bay to pick me up from Uluru, and we are then continuing on to the mouth of the serpent in James Price Point, the trip for them is actually a journey of over 6,600 kilometres in order to get to where they're going via Uluru, and then the journey back again is some 4,800 kilometres. So this is an 11,000 kilometre journey that is being undertaken. And the round trip is expected to be completed in about 3 to 4 weeks, folks. So this is truly an epic undertaking. We are going to video most of the trip. I do intend to make a documentary about it when I get back. Of course, I have to finish the film that I'm still working on. But there are going to be lots of camera crews checking things out along the way and filming things along the way. And I do fully intend to be narrating a documentary about the whole trip that should be released sometime in 2012. But it is an extraordinary time and it is an extraordinary journey to be going on, and it's a great honour to have been chosen to take the message stick to Uluru. Now, while I'm away on this trip, I will still be attempting to stay on the air while I'm away, but of course it will depend upon what type of internet connections I can find while I'm off on the road. So you'll just have to bear with me on that one, folks. And I'm not sure about the frequency of the YouTube broadcast as to how quickly I will be able to get them up there, because I will be in a completely different circumstance for the next 3 or 4 weeks. But we'll just play it by ear. I do intend to get updates to you, but I don't know that the sound quality will be as good as you're probably used to, because I'll be recording the shows on a little handheld recorder sort of out in the middle of the desert. So we'll just see how we go with that as well, folks. But I will get updates to you while I'm away. There need be no fear of that. It will almost be like many of you are there with me, because the journey that I'm commencing is not something that I am undertaking lightly. And I feel that it is a very important journey to make. And I make the journey for all people, not just for myself. I really believe that there is something to these ancient legends, and the synchronicity that has led me to be part of their unfolding is something that I simply cannot ignore. And it's a very, very compelling energy that is leading me on this trip. And rest assured that you will all be accompanying me on the trip in my heart. I truly will be taking all of you with me. I truly believe that consciousness is shifting, my friends. I truly believe that there is a very big awakening that is happening all over this planet. But I also believe that in order for it to happen effectively, people have to participate. People have to gain a better understanding of what reality is, and they need to immerse themselves in their consciousness and immerse that consciousness into creation. There is no force that's going to flick a switch whereby humankind suddenly becomes enlightened. There is no event that is going to suddenly cause your higher senses to come online unless you choose to participate in your own evolutionary process. And in regards to evolution, folks, when I talk about evolution, I'm not referring to Darwinian evolution. Darwinian evolution doesn't work. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense at all. Species did not turn into other species. What evolves is consciousness. What evolves is the energy that all is made from. And all it takes is for the frequency of this energy to rise, because higher frequency creates a greater complexity of form. And this also goes for consciousness. Higher frequency creates a greater complexity of consciousness, a greater awareness in consciousness. All the levels that we are attempting to reach, people in the New Age movement say they want to move to fifth density and then sixth and then seventh and all the way up through the densities, all the way up through the dimensions. They fail to realize that that's where they came from. They came from the highest source there is. They came ultimately from the mind of the Creator itself, whatever you perceive the Creator to be. And all of the levels that people wish to go through are simply different steps on the ladder that leads to home. Everything is a path home. Everything that we are experiencing is a journey to that ultimate place from which we came. The awakening that is happening is truly more of a remembering than an awakening. But in order for it to happen, you need to participate in reality. You need to apply yourself to what's going on around you. And you need to let go of the baggage that's preventing you from doing so. Stop holding grudges against people. Stop carrying all that stuff around with you. And stop profiting from people. Stop putting a monetary value on everything. Stop buying information from people. And stop selling people information. Simply move into your heart and do the right thing in all that you do. And stay in that energy and apply that energy to the world around you and to the people around you, but most importantly, apply it to yourself. And I think that we're about out of time here, folks, and I am going to have to leave the show there. Thank you again for anybody who has ever showed any support to thecrowhouse.com. If you can help me with any donations while I'm off on my trip, it would be most appreciated. Things are very tight for this journey, and I'm really playing it by ear. I'm really throwing myself to the wind with this one, but it'll be interesting to see what eventuates. I will be staying in touch, but you won't be seeing me online as much as you normally do, simply because I will be out on the road. But I'll be thinking of you all, and I'll be looking forward to the moment that I return. I'll be looking forward to telling you all about the trip. It's been a pleasure talking to you again today. Do try to join us in the ceremony at 2 p.m. Alice Springs time on the day of the 27th, which will be the 26th in the Northern Hemisphere, sometime late in the evening, I imagine. Thanks for joining me on the show today, and take care until I talk to you next. In Lakesh.